Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA, and welcome to our December 7th podcast, podcast number 31, Illegal Gambling and Me. Only if you're old enough to remember the Maverick series, the riverboat gambler who was also pretty intelligent and, you know, solved a lot of issues for people in the old Wild West. I remember growing up watching Maverick. But there was illegal gambling all around us, you know, growing up. I have an older brother, 6 years older, so when he was 15, you know, I was 9 years old. And because I was with my brother, I'd get into the local pool room. And in that pool room, there were pinball machines that paid. They paid instead of free games. Strangely, these machines had no flippers. It's sort of like a version of Keno. You know, the ball would just fall. Now, you could shake it a tiny bit, but it would tilt so easily. You know, that was the challenge. And occasionally, somebody would get lucky and, you know, win 75 games and get a nickel for every game they won. But generally, they were pretty tough to beat. But they were not for amusement only, even though they said that. They actually paid money. Another pool game that I remember was, I call it bottle pool. You know, you would get two pills, and the first one you could use, you'd throw it in, and that'd be your breaker. So hopefully you had a low number so you could break early. And the second one was the numbered ball that you had to hit. So let's say, you know, you had a 1-3, so you could go first. You were an automatic breaker, and if you could get the three ball in on the break or then go, you know, hit 1-2-3, you had to shoot in order, you could win that bottle pool. There was a number of games with that, but there's a lot of gambling going on. And then, of course, maybe by the time I was 11 or 12, because I spent so much time in the pool room, I got pretty good at nine ball. And we were playing nine ball for, $2 a game. That was a lot of money back then. But there was gambling all around us, and nobody seemed to say boo about it. But I didn't really know what was going on. And then there was a daily number, but it wasn't the daily number, you know, that you see drawn on television in Pennsylvania. It was through a local bookie, and it was tied to the stock market. And there were thousands and thousands of people in Western Pennsylvania. They had a bookie, and they played a daily number. And actually, that daily number, their daily number, paid more than the one that is legal now in Pennsylvania. And there's all kind of numbers now. There's afternoon, evening, etc. You know, so. And of course, sports betting. City of Champions. Well, it wasn't the City of Champions in the 60s. The Pirates actually were much better than the Steelers, but everybody knew a bookie in the neighborhood that if you wanted to bet NFL football or college football, you could do that. And then as I became a teenager and, you know, just started to travel around and play, you know, football and basketball at other high schools, you know, you found out that there were places you could go to. These places were run by, and for the lack of a better word, the way I remember it, the mob, you know, the Western Pennsylvania mob. So I'm not saying they never got raided for underage drinking, but somebody obviously would tip them off before that would occur, because some nights you would go there and they would say, you guys can't come in. And so I'm assuming that they knew that the liquor control board agents were going to be there that night. Other nights, I mean, it was ridiculous. You looked down a bar and there were 14, 13-year-old kids, and they were being treated. And, you know, and parents didn't say too much about it, because truthfully, in the Italian communities of the Pittsburgh area, you know, in Italy and in Europe in general, there's not a drinking age. So, like, they didn't see anything wrong with it. Of course, they do today, and it's a whole different story. But it's strange, you know, and you could just walk into a bar as a 16-year-old and order a beer, and the guy next to you is coming off a shift in a steel mill, and he's looking over and saying, hey, man, how you doing? How's the football team doing? You know, the local high school team. That's what it was like. Now, whether it happened everywhere, I don't know, but that's how Western Pennsylvania was, that's for sure. But, you know, we talked about how the local mob, and they were tied in some ways by blood to the national gangsters. You know, they had the same last names, and they were second or third cousins of people in New York. But when I was in high school in the 60s, you couldn't buy drugs. there were not drugs in Western Pennsylvania being sold to students. Not that I would want to. I'm just saying if I had wanted to, they weren't there. And that's because the old Italian mobsters wouldn't let the drug crowd come in and sell. You know, they had poker games. They had all the illegal things with bookies. They ran all that. And I'm sure it was prostitution, too. You know, that was nothing that I was involved with. But I'm sure they had prostitution. But they did not permit drugs to be sold. And it was only when the FBI broke them up that drugs poured into the Pittsburgh communities. So in a sense, it's just the strangest way. And you can talk to other people about this. And this is remembered history, you know, and you might find some flaws with it. But in the strangest way, those early mobsters, well, early in my life, protected Western Pennsylvania from drugs. I was fortunate enough to get accepted and go to Notre Dame and graduate. And I remember, you know, South Bend at that time was a city of 150,000. And I remember other freshmen talking about drugs in the city. And I said, like, you know, what are you talking about? Like, you know, and I had a not a roommate, but a good friend that was from Chicago. And he told me, yeah, there were kids, you know, doing drugs in his high school. And I just thought it was inconceivable because of the experience I had in Western Pennsylvania. And I'm sure there were some bad things that these mobsters might have done. But I remember them lovingly because you felt safe and protected. I mean, there really wasn't any street crime to speak of because they just stopped it. Now, how they stopped it was probably pretty violent, but they just stopped it. And when you went into a protected place, you knew there would not be trouble. Because if there was trouble, all of a sudden a couple guys would appear and somebody would be taken out. And I'm not saying they got shot or killed or anything, but they just seemed to settle down immediately when they saw who they were dealing with. But those are the old days in the Pittsburgh area. And boy, if you had some experience like that, we'd love to hear about it too. But, you know, Vegas, I think, was the same way. There are still those in Vegas who say that it was a much safer city when the mob ruled it. The Strip was safer. Downtown was safer because they just didn't permit anyone to scare away tourists, you know. And it was the same way. The drugs just weren't there. They just didn't permit them to be there. I've heard local celebrities in Vegas who are, you know, aging boomers talk about the good old days when the mob ruled. David Brenner, of course, the stand-up comedian, who was also a television star in a detective show. But David Brenner and his act would actually talk about the old days, and there were no contracts. You know, they would just say, well, we want you to play 3 months at this particular hotel casino. And he said you'd just shake hands. And he said you'd get a new convertible, you know, and they paid you every week. And he said that's how it was. But you knew you had to do it. You weren't breaking any contract. You know, that's how you did it. And, of course, stories of the Rat Pack and Frank Sinatra particularly are just filled with that mob influence in Las Vegas. I think it's a very similar story. And I don't know if it's in every area of the country, but that's how it was in Western Pennsylvania, and that's how it was in Las Vegas. The good old days, I guess, were the good old days. There must have been some bad associated with it, but who knows? Anyway, that's how it ended. And they did protect Western Pennsylvania. That's how I'll tell it. That's how I remember it. We're going to come right back and talk about the new edition of American Casino Guide 2018. Oh, I just got it a day or so ago, and I've been studying it. So American Casino Guide 2018, we're going to give it a review, and we'll be right back. So the American Casino Guide has been around for 27 years, and I think I've been getting one every year for about 20 years. So we're talking about the one that says 2018. And if you order this book online, it's very important that it says American Casino Guide, but at the top of the front cover, it will say 2018. And that's because there's more than $1,000 in coupons at the back of the book, but they're all for 2018. So if you purchase a 2017 book, it's not going to work. The way American Casino Guide does it with the coupons, let's start there, is they give you a little card which you detach, and then you show that card with the coupon. The coupon itself doesn't have value unless you have that card. So you just take the card in your wallet and the coupons that you want to use that day, because there's pages and pages of coupons. In fact, these coupons, you know, they're three to a page, and on the back side of each coupon, it tells you what hotels in different parts of the country. It's not just Las Vegas. It's many other states as well. But there's the coupons start on page 385 and run to page 480, so you can see how many coupons there are. There's the ones that are really big money are match play coupons, you know, bet 10, win 20. That's important. If you gamble, usually a match play coupon is even money any table game that's an even money bet. There's some that may be specific to blackjack or craps, etc., but most of them are just any table game. And if the casino's on the back of that coupon, you know they already approved it, so it's not an issue. There's a lot of BOGO coupons, buy one, get one, and especially with buffets. Talk a little bit about that in a minute or two, about what they say about the buffets. The first part of the book is really written by the editor and also an author, Steve Borne, B-O-U-R-I-E. He's the one that founded the book, and he has a staff now, so there's other editors, and there's also contributing writers. And the first, as I said, 118 pages are just things about gambling and travel that you may find interesting. You may not agree with everything in there, but it's very enjoyable. You learn some things. And then from page 119 to 360, those are the casino listings. And what Steve does is he actually goes state by state, and there's a map of the state, and then he'll have little dots, and they'll be identified as to where the casinos are. So you can actually just check the states around you if you just wanted to travel to some different casinos. And then throughout the book, there's pages that are inserted. They're written by gaming writers, and they're interesting. There's also black and white photographs. Sometimes they've appeared in the book before. I recognize them, and then there's some new ones. So it's really quite a deal. You can't go wrong with this one. It's one of the gaming Bibles to me. The book has a price on it of $18.95, and I'm sure you can do better than that, $18.95. I got mine on Amazon, but I got it on Cyber Monday, so that might have affected the price. And I'm a Prime customer with Amazon, so my price was $13.02, and the book qualified for free shipping, which was great. But, you know, I've most years paid in $15, $16 for the book, a little bit less than what it says on the book. But you'll get a good sense, because every casino and tribal casino in the country is in here. And there's also a little bit from each state, how each state differs and some of the things that are special about each state. And the articles are also the same way. You know, there's some that may appeal to you and some that may not. But what I wanted to talk about was, first of all, in the opening pages, Steve makes the comment that there's four games that he thinks are the best in the casino. And he talks, gets technical about the house edge and the, what's called the drop, etc. So he lists these four games, and it's blackjack, mini baccarat, craps, and video poker. And if you're just going by house edge, mini baccarat would have it over everything. But he also says that blackjack is probably the best game if you have mastered basic strategy, because you can get that house edge down below mini baccarat. So that's the big question. If you're a player, have you mastered basic strategy? And certainly, you know, I'm a craps guy, so for me, that the usual drop in craps, and if, you know, if you count it up at the end of the night, people playing wisely and people playing unwisely with craps bets, they usually win about $3 of every $100 that they take in. About $3 is profit. Now, we know there's, you can lower that house edge by either playing, just placing the 6 and 8, or by playing the pass line with odds, whatever they are, or, you know, 3 times odds, 5 times odds, 10 times odds. 100 times odds if you had that kind of a bankroll, which most 99.9% of the people who play craps don't. But also, you can do it from the dome pass, the same thing. You can lower the house edge by playing the dome pass with odds, whatever they offer. You know, usually it's 3, 4, 5 or 5 times what you have on the line or 10 times what you have on the line. It's unusual to go beyond 10 times odds in nearly every casino in the country. There's a couple with 100 times odds, but again, you're putting so much money at risk, I don't think that appeals to everybody. So that's interesting. But he also talks in one of the early articles about some of the best deals. And Casinos USA, three of us are going out in February. We're going to be there Valentine's Day week, that whole week, Monday through Friday. And we're coming in on, we're coming back to Pittsburgh on Saturday of that week. So I'll just talk about what he's offering in terms of Las Vegas. Now, when we say Las Vegas, we're talking about the Las Vegas Strip, downtown, that's Fremont Street, and we're also talking about the Boulder Highway. You know, so if you have a rental car, that's not much of a run either to go out to the Boulder Highway. Okay, well, considering that all, the best price for an appetizer, according to American Casino Guide 2018, is the Fremont Casino, which is a Boyd Casino on Fremont Street. And that shrimp cocktail deal is still 99 cents there. The best steak deal in Las Vegas, and I'm in agreement with this, and Anthony Curtis and Las Vegas Advisor is in agreement with this. The best steak deal in Las Vegas is on the Las Vegas Strip, but one street off. It's on Koval Lane, right behind Bally's is the way I always talk about it. And it's very close to the big wheel on the strip. It's Alice Island, and you have to play a little bit, but it's a $7.99 steak. Normally sells for $12.99, which is still a great deal, but the $7.99 deal can't be beat. The best place to play slots, and this definitely shocked me, and this is, you know, based on Payback, and this is recorded by the Las Vegas Nevada Gaming Commission, so it's legit. And Steve points this out. Downtown, it's the Rampart Casino. And the best place to play video poker, which is a slot, but specifically video poker, is South Point, which is south on the Strip. It's, I wouldn't consider it part of the Las Vegas Strip, but it's on the same road. You just go south. You run into South Point. The best buffet on the Strip, under $50 a person. And my daughter will attest to this because she's a Las Vegas native, lives about 5 minutes from the Las Vegas Strip. And, you know, she's tried many of the buffets there. But the best one under $50 is definitely South Point. And I think she likes that. Red Rock's close, too. Red Rock is also close. But just considering the best place to play any kind of slot machine, it's not downtown. I know you're going to think, well, downtown pays more frequently percentage-wise than the Las Vegas Strip slot machines, but actually it's the Boulder Strip casinos, all the ones on the Boulder Strip, the Boulder Highway going to Boulder Dam. They had the highest as 94.37. That's the average. Now, you know, a lot of video machines are over 99 even, but that's the average. You're just walking in and play anyone you want to. That's the average. And I told you about all the buffet two-for-ones, and there's a lot of, you know, Nathan's Hot Dog two-for-one. I'm definitely going to use that. And in talking about pizza in Las Vegas, I mean, that's, you know, that's just something to talk about. Now, just remember, I hope you agree, pizza or food in general, that's just a matter of personal taste. You know, I don't think there's any right or wrong. But a lot of people say the best pizza in Las Vegas is Secret Pizza at the Cosmo. But not for me. I like Bananas New York Pizza, and there's a buy one, get one. And there's several hotels where they have little restaurants. It's usually like in food courts. But here's the deal. You know, we're probably going to have a group of 12 people. And, you know, I get a couple of my grandsons. There's a 23-year-old and a 20-year-old involved here. So, you know, they bring some friends. And so we're having pizza, so I want to feed everybody. So I can buy a $16 pizza, this New York pizza. It depends on how many toppings you put on it, of course. And I'll get the same one or lesser price if I have fewer toppings or just cheese. You know, so it's a BOGO. So if you spend For me, if I spend $16, I can feed 12 people. You know, these are big pizzas. Because I'm going to get two. It's buy one, get one. And that's the kind of deal I'm talking about. And, of course, if you just, you know, with your significant other, just buy one, get one at a buffet is saving you some money. You know, $20, $15, $18, whatever. So in the course of probably an hour or two, even if you paid full price for this book, which is just under $19, you'd get it back, you know, in an hour or two. But if you start using MassPlay coupons, and like what we like to do is we like to casino hop and just go in, and it's usually a 2-for-1 drink coupon and a MassPlay coupon. So it might be a $5 MassPlay or a $10 MassPlay, and whatever game that's an even money bet, we can go to any table game we want to, you know. So usually it's going to be craps, but it's going to be a pass line bet. So these are things you can consider. I would say that if you take casinos seriously and you want to learn about casinos in the United States, there's more than 1,400 now, considering all of them with the tribal casinos thrown in, then this is invaluable, this book. And if you go on casino trips like we do, where you just go, you know, for a few days in one casino, then another, because, you know, what he lists on here is the website, the reservation number, the number of restaurants, the number of slot machines, what table games they have, and some other interesting, you know, tidbits about the place that, you know, might spite your interest in going there. So I'm going to give him 5 stars. It's fantastic, and it's something that we do. We always get one before January, and even reading about our own state, you know, some of the changes in the laws, et cetera, have affected the casinos. So, you know, it's a great guide, even locally for us, it's a great guide. So once again, it's Steve Bourne, B-O-U-R-I-E. He's the writer and main editor, chief editor. This book's been around for 27 years. It's called The American Casino Guide, and you just want to check the top of the page to be sure you're talking about the 2018. Okay, we'll be right back, and we're going to close out today with some casino group therapy. Uh-oh, just what you want to hear. Okay, hang on. We'll be right back. Boy, I had to let in my digital audience for this set because they're always here and they're a little screwy anyway, so they need to hear about this casino group therapy. So let's talk about what's going on with casinos and the United States Supreme Court. This is something to think about, maybe think about real hard. You know, well, for the time being, Nevada has the legal thoroughfare for sports betting in the United States of America. And New Jersey led the charge against them, and the case went all the way to the Supreme Court. And we're awaiting a ruling. It could happen that, you know, the ruling is specific to New Jersey, or there could be a blueprint for all other states. I know in Pennsylvania, it's $10 million to get a license for sports betting. So the state put that out there in their expansion of gambling in state law, in gambling law in PA, because they believe that the Supreme Court will make it such that the exclusivity given Nevada will disappear. Now, the Supreme Court could uphold things as status quo as they are now. But boy, this is good casino group therapy, because what's going to happen, you know, if you can make a legal bet, you know, right at a local casino in Pennsylvania or in Ohio or in Illinois or in Indiana or in the tribal casinos in New York State, in Michigan, it goes on and on and on. And that will change. That will tilt the board a little bit, won't it? Because that's many people consider sports betting a gambling act of skill and not chance, you know. And I agree. There's a lot of skill in this. And so we await, as our casino group therapy is working on our mind, we await and we can envision what might happen if states can proceed and start their own sports books. And Nevada just becomes another place where there's sports books. Right now, they're the only place where there's legal sports books. So that's casino group therapy today. Gives you something to think about. Oh, my. This never ends. And I know people are talking like, what's the saturation point? I asked that question too, but it doesn't seem to be apparent to anyone else in the casino business. So let's just wait and see. All right, we hope you enjoyed our show today, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. Casinos USA is a place where we seek life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. A place where every day is Saturday. See you soon.